Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
The following message is a repeat broadcast. We will resume our regular broadcast on August the 2nd, 2009. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Aside perhaps from the Lord's Prayer, this psalm, Psalm 23, is by far one of the most well-known and best-loved passages in Holy Scripture. Years ago, when the Bible was more culturally acceptable than it is today, the vast majority of people in North America and Western Europe, even if they knew very little about Christianity or the Bible, were able to recite this psalm in its entirety. Even today, in spite of widespread ignorance of Holy Scripture, many people have at least heard of this psalm and may even be able to tell you who wrote it and where it can be found. The popularity of this psalm is also evidenced in the church. Psalm 23 is often the first or one of the first portions of Scripture which Christian parents over the whole world teach their children to memorize. It is also a favorite of many of God's people. It has provided comfort at countless sickbeds and deathbeds. Thousands of sermons have been preached on this psalm over the years, and probably just as many books, articles, and meditations. And yet it continues to speak to many believers today. Who does not enjoy hearing about the Lord as a tender shepherd, leading and feeding his weak and helpless sheep? It is an image which we all understand and can readily picture. In light of all of this, it is with some hesitation that I embark this morning on a series of sermons on Psalm 23. Whatever can be said about this psalm has already been said by men who are far wiser and far more experienced in the things of the Lord than I am. This makes it rather difficult to preach on this psalm. It is so well known. And yet, under the blessing of the Lord, this psalm can still gladden the heart of God's people and provoke the unconverted to a holy jealousy when they behold the great privileges there are in being a sheep of the great shepherd. That is also my hope and prayer. And so this morning, with the help of the Lord, I would like to begin to examine this psalm in detail. Before we do so, however, a few words by way of introduction to this psalm are in order. First, a word about the authorship of this psalm. Most commentators are convinced that Psalm 23 was written by David. Aside from the psalm title, there is much to substantiate this claim. David, after all, was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He is designated such in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. He was also a shepherd. In fact, most of his youth was spent shepherding his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And so it is perfectly natural for a psalm comparing the Lord to a shepherd to have been written by David. There is, however, less certainty about when David wrote this psalm. Some say that David wrote the psalm when he was still a young man tending his father's sheep. Now, as romantic as that view is, it is also not very likely. The evidence suggests that David wrote this psalm much later in life, perhaps even as an old man. We know from 1 Samuel 16, verse 3, that it was not until after he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Moreover, the psalm speaks of a man who knows what it means to be tired and afraid, and to be beleaguered by enemies, and to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and to long for the final rest in the house of God. And so we believe that this psalm was written by David when he had some experience of life behind him, and some experience of the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. Secondly, a word about the setting of this psalm. Although the order in which the psalms appear is not inspired, this was the work of the Old Testament church, there is something significant about the place of Psalm 23 within the book of Psalms itself. Psalm 23, as you know, is sandwiched in between Psalm 22, which describes in prophetic detail the sufferings of Christ on the cross, and Psalm 24, which describes our Lord's ascension into heaven. First, we have the Psalm of the Cross, a picture of the shepherd dying for his sheep. Then we have the Psalm of the Crook, a picture of the shepherd caring for the sheep. And lastly, we have the Psalm of the Crown, a picture of the shepherd living for and reigning over his sheep. There is an order here which we ought not to miss. Before Psalm 23, we have Psalm 22. Psalm 22 functions as a kind of gateway through which Christ had to pass in order to enter into Psalm 23. Before he could become a shepherd, Christ had to lay down his life for the sheep. But then comes Psalm 24. In order to continue functioning as a shepherd, Christ had to ascend into heaven. And that is why believers today can still sing, "The Lord is my shepherd," in the present tense. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, through his word and spirit, is reigning and shepherding his people from his throne in heaven, and will continue to do so until he comes again. And so we see then that the order of the Psalms has much to teach us about the person and work of the shepherd. We have here a mini-Christology, a mini-theology of Christ. From the cross we move to the crook, and from the crook we move to the crown. Thirdly and finally, a word about those to whom this psalm is addressed. Psalm 23 is clearly written by a sheep of the great shepherd for the sheep of the great shepherd. In verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That implies, of course, that the comfort of this psalm belongs only to those who are sheep of the great shepherd. It is important to keep this in mind. For we live in a society in which people, Christians and non-Christians alike, seek to appropriate to themselves the comfort of this psalm, even though they have no right to do so. And so we see people, even godless people, will buy a card with the 23rd psalm written on it and send it to a friend who is sick or dying. Or they will purchase a plaque and hang it up in their living room. Or, as is often the case, they will request that it be sung or read at the funeral of a loved one, or at least printed in the program. Why do they do this? Because they believe that they can have the comfort of Psalm 23 without the God of Psalm 23. They believe they can have the Lord as their shepherd, and the benefits that stem from this, without having to become one of his sheep. Let us be clear at the outset. The comfort of Psalm 23 belongs only to those who are in Christ, to those who are sheep of his sheepfold, and no one else. Do not fall into the error that so many in our society have fallen into, that you can have the comfort of Psalm 23 without the God of Psalm 23. That is a deception that has led millions upon millions to hell. The only way you can appropriate the comfort of this psalm is by a true and living faith in Jesus Christ. And so my hope and prayer, as I suggested earlier, is that if you are unconverted, you may be provoked to a holy jealousy as you see the great riches and comfort that belong only to those who are in Christ. That this may drive you to the Lord with the prayer, "Lord, make me as one of your sheep, so that I too may have a share in this glorious comfort." Well, with these few words of introduction, we are now ready to begin our study of this psalm. This morning we will deal only with verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We do that in conjunction with John chapter 10, in which the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself as the great shepherd. The theme for the sermon is "The Lord as Shepherd." We'll see 2 points. First, the person of the shepherd, and secondly, the privileges of the sheep. David begins his psalm with a confession. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." This can be taken as the thematic statement for the entire psalm. Everything that follows is built upon this one statement. It is because the Lord is my shepherd that David will not want, that he maketh him to lie down in green pastures, that he leads him beside the still waters, that he restores his soul, that he leads him in the paths of righteousness, and so on. Now, this idea of God being a shepherd can be found throughout the Scriptures, beginning in the Old Testament. We find it, for example, in Psalm 74, Psalm 78, and Psalm 80. We find it in the major prophets in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. We find it also in the minor prophets. Again and again, the Scriptures refer to God as a shepherd who cares for, who feeds his people, his sheep, his flock, the people of his pasture. We find this same idea here in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, who is David referring to here? If you have a King James Version, you will notice that the word for Lord here is capitalized. Now, whenever the word Lord is capitalized in the King James Version, it refers to Yahweh or Jehovah. This is the covenant name of God, the name that speaks of God in his relation to sinners, specifically of sinners who have come under the umbrella of the covenant of grace. This is none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know this because in John chapter 10, Jesus reveals himself as the Good Shepherd, and he does this no less than three times, twice in verse 11 and once in verse 14. Now, to the Jews at that time, that was quite a claim. The Jews were quite familiar with the image that Jesus was employing here. They knew that the Old Testament spoke of God as being the shepherd of his people, and that they, the Jews, were his sheep and the flock of his pasture. And for Jesus to say that he was the good shepherd was to make himself equal with God. Jesus here was claiming to be God. Now, that Jesus' meaning was not lost on the Jews is evident from verse 33 of John 10. There we read that the Jews accused Jesus of blasphemy. Why? Well, because he had made himself equal with God. You see, for Jesus to say, I am the good shepherd, was to claim full and absolute deity. It was to identify himself directly with Yahweh, the God of the covenant. It was to say, I am Jehovah. I am your God. I am your shepherd. You see, that is why the Jews became so angry. And that is why they took up stones to kill him, because they simply did not believe that the man who was standing in front of them, the one whom they had known since childhood, was who he said he was, God himself. Now, this points up an interesting and important fact. Modern liberal theologians, along with certain sects like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, insist that Jesus never claimed to be divine. This was a statement, they say, which the later church, led by the Apostle Paul, put into the Lord's mouth. They would have us believe that Jesus was a mere creature, a created being. Oh, perhaps later on in life, they say, as Jesus grew in the awareness of the work which God had called him to do, he toyed with notions that he was the promised Messiah. But at no time did Jesus ever claim to be God. Now, to this we say utter nonsense. He did claim to be divine. He was divine. Not only did he himself make that claim, but those who heard him understood him to be making that claim, as is clear from John chapter 10. Three times over, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And three times over, the Jews understood him to be saying, I am God. And so we see then that the shepherd in Psalm 23 is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But now we need to consider the question, what right did Jesus have to make that claim? What right did he have to say that he was the good shepherd? Well, the answer can be found in John 10 at verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, here we have the basis for Christ's claim to be the good shepherd. It is because he gives his life for the sheep. Now, you notice what Jesus says here. He doesn't say, I die for the sheep. Oh, that is a truth, and a wonderful truth at that. But that is not what Jesus is teaching here. The truth that he is teaching here is far more wonderful than that. He is saying that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In other words, no one has to wrest it from him. He does this voluntarily, of his own accord, out of his undying love for his sheep. What a contrast to the hirelings that Jesus mentions later on in this chapter. The hirelings would never do what Christ did. They would never give their life for the sheep. When the hireling sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. But not so the good shepherd. No, the good shepherd loves the sheep. He loves them so much that he gives his life for them. And that gives him the right to call himself the good shepherd. We see here something of the great condescension of Christ. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the creator of all things visible and invisible, taking on himself the role of a shepherd. Do you know what the Jews thought of shepherds? They despised them. Shepherds in Jewish society were the lowliest, most despicable class of people imaginable. But this is what Jesus did. This is what he became. He became a shepherd. He left the glories and the riches of heaven to become a lowly shepherd. And he did more than that. As the shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. For the sheep. What kind of animals are sheep? They are the most stupid, helpless, trouble-prone creatures God ever created. And you know, we are no different in that respect. And that is why David here compares himself and all believers to sheep. There is an acknowledgement here of weakness, of helplessness. And every believer will be able to testify of this from his own experience. And yet, and this is the amazing thing, it is for such creatures that the Lord gave his life. And it is upon such sheep that the Lord bestows such great privileges. Well, what are these privileges? We look at that under our second point. Having identified the Lord as his shepherd, David goes on to speak of the great privileges he enjoys as one of his sheep. Now, before we examine what those privileges are, it is necessary to point out, first of all, the basis or the ground of those privileges. And here I draw your attention to a word that I have not touched on yet. It is the word my. David does not merely say the Lord is a shepherd or even the shepherd. No, he says the Lord is my shepherd. That is a very personal, a very direct confession. David declares here that he belongs to the shepherd. You see, there is a mystical, almost unexplainable bond of fellowship that unites the sheep and their shepherd. Jesus gives expression to that same idea in John 10, verses 3 through 5. There he pictures himself as the good shepherd entering into the sheepfold by the door and calling out to the sheep. I read verse 3 and following. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Notice what Jesus says here. When the shepherd calls, the sheep follow. They will not respond to the voice of a stranger. You can call out to them all you like, but they will pay no attention. They will only follow the voice of their shepherd. And why is that? Because, you see, there is an inexplicable bond that unites the sheep to the shepherd. They know him, and he knows them, and therefore when he calls, they follow. In preparing this sermon, I was greatly helped by a short booklet by Douglas MacMillan entitled The Lord Our Shepherd, published by Banner of Truth. MacMillan grew up on a sheep farm in Scotland, and so he knows a lot about sheep. In this little book, Macmillan illustrates what Jesus says here from his own experience. He recalls the time when, after feeling called by the Lord to the ministry, he went off to Edinburgh to study. Several months later, he returned home for a visit. While he had been away, a large flock of lambs had been born who were being cared for by his brother. During his first morning home, Macmillan went with his brother to feed the sheep. When they reached the gate, he called out to the sheep. These were the same sheep that he had cared for earlier. But as it turned out, they paid no attention to him. None of them even looked up. And he couldn't understand it. He called again, but again, no response. And so he said to his brother, "You had better call them." And so he did. And wouldn't you know it, they all came running. Now the strange thing about this is that their voices were almost exactly alike. In fact, Macmillan says that when people called their home and he picked up the phone, the person on the other end of the line often mistook him for his brother and vice versa. Yet as soon as his brother called for the sheep, they came running. Why is that? Because the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. Even though Macmillan's voice was almost identical to his brother's, it was just another sound to them. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and when he calls, they come running. And so it is with the child of God. He knows the voice of the shepherd. I don't mean to suggest by this that the Lord actually speaks to his children in an audible voice. No. The Lord speaks to his people only through his word. It is in the word that the shepherd speaks. It is through the word that the shepherd calls. And when the shepherd speaks, the sheep will follow. And why do they follow? Because they know that the shepherd will provide them with all that they need. And therefore, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, this word "want" has taken on a slightly different meaning since the time that the King James Version was translated. Today, we use the word "want" to express a desire. For example, we might say, "I want a glass of water." But when our Bible was translated, the word "want" could also mean lack. Thus, when we read here, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," David is not saying he does not want the Lord as his shepherd. Rather, he is saying, "Since the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not lack anything. All my needs are met in him and by him." David here is speaking as a sheep. Like sheep, David is not able to provide for himself. Everything he needs, both for body and for soul, comes from the hand of the Good Shepherd. You see, the sheep do not know the way to the green pastures or to the still waters, but the shepherd does. And that is why when he calls, they follow. Because they know that he knows the way, and that he is able to provide them in all of their needs. And what exactly are these needs? Well, they are enumerated in the verses that follow. And Lord willing, we hope to examine each one of these in the weeks to come. What David is doing here, you see, is he is presenting a thematic statement, which he will work out in more detail later. And that thematic statement is simply this: "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not lack anything. All of my needs are met in him and by him." That includes both his material and his spiritual needs. When David says, "I shall not want," he means in part that all of his material needs are provided by the Great Shepherd. Food, clothing, shelter, employment, all these things are provided by the Great Shepherd. He gives us everything we need for this life and more. And that's why David says here, "I shall not want. I shall not want, because the Lord my shepherd provides me with everything that I need." Now, that does not mean, of course, that if we are sheep of the shepherd, we will enjoy tremendous wealth and prosperity. Sad to say, many preachers today will make that claim and lead many astray as a result. Rather, David here is simply acknowledging that everything we have, whether we have been blessed with much or very little, comes from the hand of the great shepherd. And if it comes from his hand, then we have enough. Then we can say, yes, even in the midst of great poverty, I shall not want. Now, if this is true with respect to material blessings, how much more true is it with respect to spiritual blessings? Yes, here too we can say with David, I shall not want. And indeed, can we not say that? Has the Lord not provided us with everything necessary for our salvation? I think here of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, and all the benefits which stem from that redemption, of justification, sanctification, and the prospect of future glorification. I think of receiving the adoption of sons as children, and how the Holy Spirit enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. I think of peace with God through Jesus Christ, so that we can stand boldly in the grace which God has so bountifully provided in His Son, and which He so gladly and graciously applies to us through the operation of the Holy Spirit. I think of the inheritance incorruptible, of the crown that will never tarnish, of treasures that will never rust, of glory that will never fade, of riches that cannot be described in earthly terms. I think of all that which we have in Christ Jesus our shepherd, and I say, children of God, we are rich. We have not lacked anything in the past. We really do not lack anything in the present, and we shall not lack anything in the future. We are rich through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, do you see this? So often, is it true, so often we grumble and complain about the things we lack, both materially and spiritually, that we sometimes forget how rich we really are. And why is that? Why are we like that? Because the thing we lack is faith. Faith that enables us to see beyond our present circumstances, even beyond our present experience, and lay hold on the promises of God, so that even in the midst of abject poverty, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, do you have that kind of faith? That kind of faith comes only when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on His name and plead for His Holy Spirit to work it within us. And my hope and prayer for each one of you who is listening to my voice this morning may be that you may go to the Lord and you may ask Him to work that kind of faith in our hearts, so that no matter what this life may bring, we may be able to say with David the precious words of this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It's a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0, or you can call me direct at area code 403-553-3400. For your information, these messages are also being posted on the internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on The Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on the corner of Blackfoot Trail and Glenmore Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at 254-6591. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 10 and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week for the Banner of Truth.